Okay. We were planning to have a group of four Chinese lawyers and human rights activists here this morning. I don't know if you read CBS News this morning or Associated Press Dispatch in a number of papers, or it was on Yahoo News, NPR News. Lawyers say China blocked U.S. visit, citing security. Two prominent Chinese rights lawyers said security officials blocked them Saturday morning from flying to the United States for meetings with congressmen, judges, and scholars. Pressure on Chinese activists has increased in the weeks since imprisoned author Liu Xiaobo won the Nobel Peace Prize. And 200 Chinese Christians were stopped from leaving China for the Lausanne conference in South Africa a couple of weeks ago. Who were the lawyers that were stopped? Timothy, who was here with us last year, and one other who had not been here. Okay. However, two got out. Dr. Li is with us this morning. We're going to hear from him in a few minutes. And another one got out, got to Tokyo, and the weather with the typhoon delayed his plane. They rerouted him from Tokyo through New York back to Los Angeles, and he's coming later this morning, but I don't think he's going to make our class. So at least we have two. Bob Fu of China Aid, the director, and Dr. Li are going to be with us this morning, and we're so honored that they are here with us. Bob Fu grew up in China. He was part of the Rally for Democracy and Freedom in the Tiananmen Square protest in 1989. He then became a Christian and was leading a house church, and he was an English teacher for Communist Party officials in Beijing at the Communist Party school. But the government considered him a threat, and he and his wife Heidi were put in prison for illegal evangelism. Eventually, they got out and escaped and came to the United States. Bob now lives in Texas, but in the interim, he did a master's degree at Westminster Seminary in Philadelphia, which is where I graduated from, and he is a student in the PhD program at Westminster Seminary in Philadelphia, and we were talking about his PhD dissertation topic this morning, which has to do with relationship between church and state in different theological traditions. So Bob is the director of China Aid. It's headquartered in Midland, Texas, where Bob now works. And he's a tireless advocate for freedom and democracy, especially for the house churches in China. And just the fact that they are able to get this article, which was carried in hundreds of news outlets this morning, is amazing, because his goal is to get public awareness around the world of the repressive actions that are taken by the Chinese government against the church. So I've asked them to take the first half hour this morning. Bob Fu will introduce Dr. Li, and the two of them will speak, and they'll have some time for question and answers about what is happening to Christians in China, what is the state of the church in China, what is happening in the government. And since he was here a year ago with seven colleagues, the government has cracked down much more severely. And he'll tell us about those developments. But first, we have a three-minute video about the work of China Aid, and then, Bob, it's up to you.
Okay. Locked and even tortured, and even sentenced to many years in prison, even to life. And the independent churches, their buildings could be destroyed and bulldozed and even bombed.
I have experienced arrest, detention, and other persecutions 37 times.
The international community can help by raising awareness concerning these human rights abuses in China. One organization that is shedding light on these gross violations in China and changing lives is China Aid, based in Midland, Texas.
The ways that China Aid has been providing support for the persecuted in China are, number one, being a voice for these voiceless brothers and sisters as an advocate in the free world. Number two, to provide financial aid to the victims and the family of the prisoners. Number three is to provide legal aid for those persecuted in the court.
China Aid walks with the persecuted faithful and believes that the enforcement of rule of law is essential to preserving religious freedom. China Aid works to apply this philosophy to a grassroots model of growth and change.
Religious freedom can change the face of China as the first freedom among all the freedoms. As many people in China said, one more Christian, one less criminal. One more church, one less prison. And by pushing and advancing religious freedom, China will become a more stable, less corrupt, and more civil society for the future.
One morning in October 2006, three policemen from the Beijing Public Security Bureau took me to a hotel and detained me from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. They didn't give me lunch, but interrogated me over 6 hours. They asked me, "What have you done over the past 2 years? What relationship do you have with the China Aid Association? There are 8 public security bureaus from 8 provinces chasing you. What have you done? We have to stop your work related to religious freedom."
China Aid works in China to defend the rights of the persecuted by networking with Chinese legal professionals to take on civil and religious cases in court. Outside of China, it campaigns to raise awareness about religious persecution and human rights abuses in China.
The ways that our legal aid impact the persecuted church is, despite the fact that we do not win every legal battle, yet we do reduce the sentences of these prisoners. We do reduce even the level of persecution. Many times, by fighting the legal battle in the court, we educate both the grassroots leaders and the court lawyers and the judges on the spirit of the rule of law.
When I faced the most dangerous and difficult time in my life, it was the China Aid Association who appealed to the international community to pay attention to my case, and it forced the Chinese government to release me after I was imprisoned for over half a year. My original sentence was re-education through hard labor for 3 years.
In China, China Aid is training pastors and house church leaders on how to defend their rights according to the law. In addition to providing legal assistance, it also offers charitable funding to families of prisoners of conscience.
Chinese house churches will make two great contributions to democracy, the legal system, and even culture reform and renewal. These contributions will provide the basis that will help the country become better. It is a blessing from God.
I have done much defending of rights to protect churches and Christian religious freedoms for the last 4 years. My deep feeling is the defending of rights is the best way to protect churches and Christians from the persecutions of local PSBs. This is our weapon of law.
I decided to support Bob and China Aid when I realized how much they reminded me of the believers in chapter 11 of Hebrews, men of whom the Bible says the world was not worthy. And that's exactly how I consider our Chinese brothers and sisters who are undergoing such persecution at the hands of Chinese government, that the world is not worthy of such men. And we're also admonished to remember our brothers in chains as though we were in prison with them. And this is one of the small ways we can share in their suffering or to knit our hearts together with theirs, is by our prayers and by our tangible gifts.
Persecution is alive and well in China. As China grows in international power and influence, the Chinese government will continue to be a threat to the world of the future.
Americans should be concerned about China and its future because China has become the largest creditor to the U.S. debt. And as Napoleon said, when China wakes up, the whole world shakes. And the American has the potential to make China either become a threatening dragon or a peacemaking lamb in this world.
China Aid is advancing religious freedom in China by exposing the abuses, encouraging the abused, and equipping leaders on behalf of the persecuted church. To learn more about China Aid and how you can lend your support, visit ChinaAid.org.
Thank you so much. It's really only until you meet with the Chinese border security officer, you would know how dangerous your Sunday school is. You can pose the national security threat to the Chinese government. They would block them, you know, coming. But their hearts and their prayers, they want me to, you know, Timothy was here last year, and he specifically asked me to say greetings to all of you. And please remember him in your prayer, and especially his wife and his daughter. This is what Timothy told me. He found increasing signs that his wife and his daughter are becoming hostages the government tried to use to intimidate him for his human rights work. So he was very concerned. So we're planning to do something to help him. Anyway, I want to introduce Dr. Lee. You saw he already talked a little bit. Maybe before I introduce him, I want to raise another prayer request. That is Dr. Fan, you know, the last Chinese speaker who was a constitutional law scholar with whom Wen and Marguerite has met when they were in Beijing. Last year? Yeah, last year. So the day before yesterday was his third time in 2 weeks being detained for 8 hours. And basically he was ordered not to have any religious services, worship services at his home and his offices from this week. And so he's really facing a very challenging job. But the Lord be with him. We pray for him, his wife, and his little son, and for their safety, especially for the spiritual strength that they can keep the battle. And Dr. Lee, he is maybe one of the most effective and impactful Christian human rights lawyers in China, recognized by the world. And he has been, over the years, taking numerous cases by traveling all parts of China to represent pastors and believers, and not only Christians, but even, you know, those Tibetan minorities to defend for their freedom of worship. And he himself experienced lots of sufferings, including being kidnapped and being tortured and imprisoned. And in 2006, when we first invited him to the U.S. To talk to the member of Congress and American leaders about the plight of the religious persecution, eventually a historical meeting was scheduled for the first time. A sitting U.S. president, then President George W. Bush, decided to have a meeting in the White House with these house church Christians. So Dr. Lee was on his right side in that picture. And that actually helped him. After he returned to China, the security guard talked to Dr. Lee, said, "Now you're publicly called a friend of the U.S. president, and we wouldn't jail you anymore." And so he has never been in prison since then. And despite of a more courageous effort. So we need more president to take that courageous step to meet our brothers and sisters. But I want to let him share a little bit about the condition of the church in China, and also the human rights lawyers' work, and then we can open the floor for some question and answers. I'm so glad to be here today, to be with our fellow brothers and sisters.
在过去的五年里，我觉得是 Okay. 在过去的五年里，我成为基督徒以来，主要是在为这个中国的宗教自由做了一些个案。
So in the past five years, since I became Christian, I have been dedicating to defend for the persecuted Christian brothers and sisters in the court.
在我成为基督徒以前，主要是为中国这些弱势群体，比如说那些失去土地的农民，做了一些大量的法律援助。
I had been providing legal aid to numerous cases to the vulnerable groups, especially those who lost their land by the, because of the corrupted officials before I became a Christian.
大家知道今天在中国虽然经济高速发展，但是中国的法治还是不是完全独立的。
And as you know, although there is a rapid economic growth in China,Yet the rule of law is not that apparent.
最明显的是中国还缺乏政治自由和宗教自由。
The most obvious freedom that China is lack of are the political freedom and religious freedom.
那么中国政府在对待宗教方面，特别是对基督教方面，它是采取一种限制和一种压制的政策。
The Chinese government policy toward religion is restriction and suppression.
在过去的三十年来，中国的基督教有很大的发展，特别是表现为家庭教会这种迅猛的发展。
In the past 30 years, the Chinese church has grown very fast and in a speed, especially the independent house churches experienced unprecedented growth.
那么中国政府会担心基督徒的人数太多会危及到他的政权的稳定。
So the rapid growth of the Christian population made the Chinese government, communist government fear that it will be a threat to their political dictatorship.
所以中国政府会让宗教局和公安局经常对这种数量庞大的家庭教会展开一种限制和镇压。
So that's the primary reason the Chinese government took the suppressive actions against those believers and especially large house church movements.
具体做法就是把这些家庭教会的这些领袖把他们抓起来劳动教养或者判刑。
Specifically, the government took steps like imprisoning those leaders of the house church movement and sent them with criminal sentence or re-education through labor.
作为一个关心中国人权和法治的律师，我在过去的五年里，在对华援助协会的帮助下，我们对这些宗教迫害的一些个案都提供了法律帮助。
With the help of China Aid in the past 5 years, we have beenproviding legal aid to numerous cases of those persecuted pastors who were imprisoned.
对于那些被判刑的牧师或者家庭教会带领人，我们到法庭为他辩护。
We went to the court and defended these imprisoned pastors when they were sentenced.
对于那些被判处劳动教养或者说罚款的这些家庭教会。那么我们就起诉公安局或者宗教局。
To those cases, those pastors who are sentenced to administrative re-education through labor or administrative detention, we went to, we filed the administrative legal litigation challenging the Chinese Public Security Bureau.
在十年前，中国的家庭教会遭受这种权力的这种迫害的时候，他们很少用法律来作为武器。捍卫自己的宗教权利。
Rarely, 10 years ago, rarely there is any case was taken in the court by the persecuted Christians. They always chose to be quiet and silent.
但是十年前开始，中国的家庭教会遭受迫害以后，都开始用雇佣律师、聘请律师来拿起法律武器。
So things changed from 10 years ago, the Chinese house churches start to realize they have the legal rights and to take the legal challenge in the court and the judicial system to, for the oppression, I mean, to the oppressed
作为一个学习研究宪法和行政法的一个律师，那么这是我的特长，就是对这些公权力掌权者提起法律诉讼。
Since my expertise is constitutional law and administrative law, so God used my gift to challenge the administrative power and authority.
在很多这种政府侵犯公民的自由的个案当中，虽然我们在法庭上可能最后判决的我们失败了，但是过后我们再发现这些公权力机关他们再也不重复过去那种侵权行为。
In many of the cases, although in the legal, the court battle, we're not always winning, yet we find always every time after we fought the legal battle, we found the administrative authorities will cease to persecute Christians in that area.
所以凡是我们提供过法律援助，用这个法律程序来教育过政府的地方，那么政府的这种侵犯公民的自由还是有所收敛。
And wherever we find, wherever there is some of the legal lessons we taught through the court to the officials, and we found there are more constraint of the persecution by the Chinese authorities.
政府官员开始学会自我约束，开始学会去尊重公民的权利和自由。
So many government officials actually start to learn to be self-constrained, to not to be suppressive toward these religious minorities.
所以我想我们在过去这五年的工作还是有一定的成效。
So I think we do made a difference and some progress in the past 5 years.In this battle.
所有这些没有发生，所有发生过新的宗教迫害的地方，都是因为没有律师去对他们展开过起诉。
So we find now almost wherever there is new cases of persecution, it always we find that area because that area has no legal challenge in the past.
所以我对自己过去五年的工作总结就是。我就像一只蚂蚁，我们通过每一个 Pacific case 作为一块砖一块瓦来建设这个中国的法治进程。
So I always I found through the experience of past 5 years I find I'm like a little ant and just gradually and slowly and make the big wall fall and,
yeah. 也非常感谢美国的弟兄姊妹长期以来对中国这些基督徒的支持。
So I'm very, very grateful, especially to all our American fellow brothers and sisters like you, for your support to our fight and our cause in China.
因为你们道义上和物质上的帮助，使得我们这些人权律师和中国这些家庭教会的这些信徒都能够得到帮助。
So your spiritual and financial support has really empowered us and enabled us and encouraged us to continue our fight.
从而推动中国的宗教自由和法治不断往前走。
So we can make more progress in advancing the rule of law and religious freedom in China.
但是除了为这些宗教自由提供法律帮助，我也在很多这些农民失去土地，也为他们提供法律帮助。
Yeah, besides the legal battle for the religious freedom cases, I also take cases in defending and protecting the basic rights.For especially thousands of peasants who lost their lands and because of the corruption.
都是这种采取起诉政府或者为老百姓申请游行示威啊，罢免这些政府官员这些法律行为。
So usually I took action in filing the administrative legal challenges to the government officials, or campaign to recall from mayors to governors and all these battles.
所以我们所做的工作都是通过法律来教育政府官员，使他们学会尊重公民的权利。
So we basically our method is to use the letter of the law to re-educate the Chinese government officials, so that they can learn how to respect a little bit about the Chinese citizens' basic rights.
使中国的法治进程的发展和经济发展也能够同步。
So that the the progress of rule of law and the economic prosperity can be advanced at the same time.
但我们做这些工作也面临一些很大的风险，那就是警察或者司法局，他们也经常会找我们谈话。
So of course, we always face some difficulties and challenges. The public security officers and the judicial, like justice bureau officials, always talk to our lawyers.
如果我们的行动太胆大、太冒险，那么就会面临失去律师执照的风险。
If it's if it's deemed too risky, then we are facing the possibility of losing our lawyer's license.
所以怎么在跟政府展开法律斗争，又能够确保自己的这个律师执照方面，这是需要一个微妙的平衡，需要上帝赐给我们智慧。
So we really need godly wisdom to balance between how to keep fighting without losing the legal license.
非常感谢弟兄姊妹。
Thank you, brothers and sisters. Thank you.
问题。You know, I thought I was in charge of this class, but those people at the audio booth really run it. They cut you off, you're dead. All right. What year was the Chinese Constitution established? 1947?
哪一年中国的宪法建这个设立的？设立的宪法？
从毛泽东开始，中国设立了有五部宪法。
From Chairman Mao's time, China has five versions of constitution already.
目前生效的是1982年制定的第五部宪法。
The latest version was enacted in 1982, the fifth one.
Okay. Yeah.Well, I'm just putting this in perspective in my own mind. I think we come and think, oh, China persecutes the church, then how can you appeal in the courts? What good will that do? Because the government is persecuting the church and the courts are part of the government. But what happens is, if we think about this, China is about the size of the land area of the United States, continental United States, but has four times the amount of people. We have 300 million, they have 1.2 billion. Or 1.3 billion. For any government to go on for 50, 60 years like that, there have to be rules. There's a constitution and there are rules about, just even if you're all communists, you have to have rules to prevent corrupt officials from being more corrupt and misusing their privilege. So now these human rights lawyers who are trained in the law in China, and in fact, Dr. Li has been a professor at a law school,They know the law so well that they can use it to stop persecution. They can use all sorts of different parts of the law to stop persecution of the church. And that's, I think, what's happening. Because then they go to the courts, they say, don't you have to follow your own rules? And it's like Paul appealing to Caesar, I think. So, that, is that a correct observation?
他刚才说的是不是就是你们在做的，就是这个用中国的法律的条文来去告诉中国的官员，说这是你们。书面上说的，你们应该去遵守这个自己的规定吗
？Yes. 我们知道中国的宪法制定的很好，甚至有些地方比美国还好。
We know actually the Chinese Constitution is a very good one. Actually, some parts are even better than American Constitution.
但是中国的这些政府官员他们不愿意执行。
But the Chinese administration officials, they are reluctant to obey the law.
那我们用什么办法去让他执行？那我们只有通过这种法律上的斗争来教育他们。
So the only way left for us to keep them in line of the law is to use the legal fight to educate them.
在很多中国老百姓看来，这个法律是假的，是没用的。但是我们就要把这个假的当作真的去用，去实践。
So in the eyes of the Chinese regular citizens, these laws are all fake and not real. But we have to treat the fake as the real. So we just use the letter of the law to challenge them.
长期这波坚持，我想它就变成真的了。
So after we consistently just using the law, Maybe one day it will be real.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's see who has questions or comments. I wonder who that could be.
Don't you know?
How you want.
I read the book Heavenly Man. And oh, yeah. If you have not read it, you must buy it and send a big contribution to China Aid, more than the book costs. You will be blessed by that book. Was wonderful, Bob.
It is wonderful. Huh?
And I was wondering, I was so encouraged that God spoke to Brother Han so much mm-hmm. in dreams and mm-hmm. to other Christians in dreams. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if Dr. Lee has ever experienced the Lord speaking to him in a dream. Mm-hmm.
所以他问呢，他说他读了这个天上人那本书，就是你读过那个，就是中国家庭教会的一个弟兄，他提到上帝呢透过异梦啊异象啊，也向你那个中国的基督徒特别讲话。他就说那个你有没有这种经历，在你信主之后啊，有没有一种就是说在上帝透过异梦异象给你特别的一些那个讲话啊提醒？
我信主之前和信主以后，上帝经常通过一些异梦来告诉我未来会发生的事情，很多也出现了。
I have many dreams. Actually, God used to tell me what's going to happen, and it happened many times. Yeah, yeah. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Maybe I can give you an update on Brother Gao. I think many of you have been praying for him. In April this year, he was forced to resurface for 10 days only. And I was actually traveling with Dr. Lee in UK, Northern Ireland, during that time, and I was able to speak over the phone with Brother Gao for half an hour. And then on the eve of his birthday, on April 17th, I think, when his daughter in New York City was preparing a birthday party over the phone, and he re-disappeared. And since then, nobody has ever heard, nobody has never learned anything about him. So he just disappeared again. So continue to pray for him.
Just a quick question. We have friends who are English-speaking teachers in China. They mm-hmm. go back and forth every so often. Have they, any of those folks, ever been in prison for their testimony? I know they're very careful about how they speak about the Lord and have a testimony there.
Okay. Are they American citizens?
Yes.
Well, it's very unlikely because the Roman citizenship enjoys some privilege in China. So it's American citizen, enjoy some privilege. 他说他有朋友在中国教英文，是美国人，就是基督徒，用英文教英文的方式嘛，做见证。他们会不会被抓进监狱，中国的监狱？按照中国的法律，在学校里面不允许讲宗教的事情。
According
to the Chinese law, the no teacher is allowed to share any religious message in the school.
但是他可以在下课之后跟学生举行沙龙，或在自己的家里，或在咖啡馆，可以谈宗教的见证。
But he can talk about his faith after class, or in his own apartment, or in a coffee shop. Yeah.
因为在中国的这个学校里，宗教还是一个很敏感的事情，在课堂上。
In the class or in the university, the Chinese education system, the religion is still a taboo. It's a very sensitive topic. Yeah.
I was just wondering, I was just wondering if the being awarded a Nobel Peace Prize, Chinese lawyer that was awarded that, did that change the dynamics for the house churches in China? What impact did that have?
Yeah, the Nobel Peace Prize made a right decision this year to win. I think 他说那个一个中国人获得诺贝尔和平奖对中国的教会啊有什么影响啊会不会有什么积极的影响啊
我想这个诺贝尔和平奖会对中国政府领导人还是会有很多很大的冲击的。
And I think the Nobel Peace Prize to the Chinese writer this year is having a very major impact on the mindset of the Chinese leadership now.
可能会有两种后果，一种就是很积极的后果，更加开放；另外一种呢，他们也会感到害怕，就会更加加紧镇压。
So there are two likely consequences. One is it will enable or force the Chinese government to be more open, maybe have more freedom. And the other is the consequence could be it will make the hardliner even harder and to limit more freedoms. And so far, it has a very bad, sort of the negative impact. There are over two dozens of political dissident writers and human rights activists are either under house arrest or put in jail, or some were beaten, and some were even not allowed to be out of their own home. And several prominent Christian human rights lawyers and activists, like Dr. Fan, he has 24 public security officers every day, just 24, and just, so they can go to his bedroom anytime and without notice. The Chinese prominent human rights, writer who is the best-selling author, who also met with President Bush with Dr. Lee in 2006, was under 24-hour house arrest and three security cameras. I mean, the security officers point to him, just said, you know, we have three. Point to the window, his door. And so 3 days ago when his wife had a high fever and she needs to be sent to the emergency, and the security officer at the door would not allow that. And so somebody else called the 911, the Chinese version of 911, and had the ambulance over there. And so it took a doctor persuade the security officer to allow his wife to be sent to the hospital accompanied by a security officer, not by that writer. So he's still, this is the second week, he was not allowed to came out of his home after the Nobel Peace Prize.
So what kind of support are you getting from the United States Congress, and what do you hope for?
Yeah. Well, we wish the former Nobel Peace winner could help the latest one to get out of his prison. He's sentenced to 11 years. His wife is under house arrest, and no communication at all to the outside world. And it's very unlikely she or he will be allowed to go to the Oslo, Norway, to pick up the award. And we, of course, in the past 2 years, the administration has taken a very, very different approach than the previous administration. The so-called non-interference policy, which means the United States would not let human rights to interfere with the policy of so-called economic security, environment security, and other things they put in the priority. So in the State Department alone, the Assistant Secretary of State that actually supposed to help the on this human rights issue was the last one sworn in after almost 2 years. And the U.S. Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom is still vacant.
How well known are the persecutions and the abuses? How well known are they within China to the general population? And also, how about the court wins? Are those well publicized as well?
他的问题很好。他说第一个呢，就是说这些宗教迫害的事件在中国国内有多少的那个传播力，就是说是不是大家都知道。第二个就是说，那你那个赢了的案例有多少人能够知道呢，在中国国内
啊，这些宗教 persecution 在国内的这些报刊杂志媒体都不能报道。
So none of these religious persecution cases was is allowed to be published in any of the Chinese newspaper or mass media.
因为中国政府不允许国营的媒体报道这些事情，所以整个中国这些公民
Chinese government would forbid any report on these kind of cases.
在我们律师所援助这些宗教迫害当中，刚才说了很多案子，可能从字面上，从这个 vindication 可能我们 fear 的，但是 in reality 这些 house church 都获得了 freedom。
The cases that we have won or you know partially won was not reported, but I mean but those progress had been failed by the local believers. Every time we filed a case, they knew, they felt that they have more freedom. Yeah. Although there's no publicity.
Yeah. Because we are providing these cases,
So we always do follow up after we file the case and let the court run its course. And we always found after the battle, the Religious Affairs Bureau and the Public Security Bureau would not harass or interfere their freedom of gathering. So that's real progress. Yeah.
So 用法律斗争来捍卫宗教自由。还是比较有 effective.
So we think to use the legal weapon to fight for this for the freedom is still the most effective weapon. Yeah, we find. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wen. Yeah.
Let's pray. Our Father, we pray as a class on behalf of Bob Fu and Bright Lee and their colleagues that you would continue to bless their efforts and multiply and increase the success that they are given. We pray that you would give them favor in the eyes of the officials in the government. And we ask, Lord, that as Your Holy Spirit has worked in so many minds and hearts to bring people to you, that you would expand the growth of the church, even to the high officials of the government, that they would begin to turn to you and trust in you as Lord and Savior and follow your ways. We pray for this amazing, great nation of China, Lord, that you would let the power of your gospel explode and expand and continue to grow so that there would be more freedom to follow you and preach the good news of the gospel and bring people to salvation and bring people to freedom and joy and fellowship with yourself. Lord, protect these men. Bless and protect Bob Fu's work that throughout the world, world opinion would bring pressure to bear on the government of China to allow more freedom and more democratic reforms that the church might be free and people might be free. Bless and protect Dr. Lee, Lord, and those working with him. We pray for Dr. Fan, that you would protect him and strengthen his heart and give him great nearness and fellowship to you throughout these difficult times. Give success to these men's efforts, Lord, and give them favor in the eyes of the judicial system and the government leaders.
We commit them into your hands, and we thank you for the work they are doing. Amen. Let's see if we can get started on this. We're doing this politics according to the Bible. We're talking about the environment. Biblical teaching was last week on your outline, and now the current state of the Earth's resources and energy resources. I want to get onto that material today. Well, I should say, do you all have this China Aid brochure? So what I do in cases where we have outside speakers, this is not an organization that is supported through the giving channels of the church normally, but if any of you see the Lord putting that on your heart to give contributions to China Aid, I would certainly think it's worthwhile. Margaret and I do support this ministry ourselves, and we think it's a very valuable and worthwhile thing to do. So I'll just, on a one-time basis, I have freedom to say that in the church, and that's for your individual consideration and decision. Okay, so we're on current state of the Earth's resources. Basically, I want to talk about today, are we running out of land? Are we running out of water? Are we running out of clean air? Are we going to run out of energy? All of that. So this start this week, and then we'll finish it next week. So here's where we are. Let's see. That's the book, Politics According to the Bible. Scheduled today, Earth's Resources. Next week, November 7th, global warming. But you know what? As it turns out, today we've had this other wonderful privilege of these lawyers from China. And so it'll be today and next week, the Earth's Resources. And then November 14th, Margaret and I will be visiting our children in Minneapolis and our granddaughter, Ava. And so Barry Asmus will be back, and he'll give us some analysis of the election and implications for the U.S. economy. I asked Barry if he'd be willing to do that. And then the global warming material will start on November 21st. So that's kind of the schedule. Let's see what else we have here. Oh, what is this? What is this? Whose birthday could be today? Could it be Margaret's? Yes. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Margaret. Happy birthday to you. Let's see what else we have. Upcoming events. This Tuesday is Election Day. Be sure to vote if you haven't already. And if you want to listen to 960 AM, the Dennis Prager Show, at 11 o'clock, I'm scheduled to be on that, talking about my book on politics according to the Bible on Election Day. Someone said, could I say something about Proposition 203? I'll spend just a minute on that. It's a proposition to legalize medical marijuana in the state of Arizona. What would my personal recommendation be? It would be to vote against that proposition. That's my personal recommendation. And the reason is, I think it should be called legalizing so-called medical marijuana. And what has happened in other states where this has been legalized, I think Colorado and Michigan, is all of a sudden thousands of very young people decide that they woke up the next morning and had chronic headaches or chronic back pain, which they never knew before, but there it is, and it really needs this medical marijuana, and all of a sudden, it's legalized, it's just an open door to anybody who wants to get marijuana to use, and the medical benefits that come from marijuana in terms of pain remediation can be gotten through prescription medication already. And the biblical verse is, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. And this isn't wine, but it leads to a state of impaired judgment and impaired decision-making process, which is similar to intoxication with alcohol. I don't want people driving down the roads with that kind of impaired judgment in their brain based on some prescription from a doctor. So that's my own recommendation. That's just 1 minute on that question. Now, let's see. Here we are with some materials on the resources of the earth. There are people who say, we've got too many people on the earth. We're running out of land. We're running out of food. We're running out of trees. We're running out of water. We're running out of clean air. We're running out of everything. In history of economic theory, those people are called, Barry, you're here. Hello. Those people are called Malthusians after an economist named Malthus in England in, I don't know, the 1700s, 1800s, I don't know when he was. He said, we're running out of everything. And my argument is going to be we aren't, and we're not going to. Why? Because of the way God created the earth. Genesis 1:28, God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. That is, he expected there to be a lot of people on the earth that would be filled, and they would subdue it. They would develop its resources and use them, not just leave them untouched. And God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. The earth he had made was good. And Paul says we're not to refuse to use things in the creation. Everything created by God is good. Nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. That was in the context of people saying don't eat certain foods. But I think the principle in general is when God has made the resources of the earth for our benefit, use them joyfully. And it is God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. So that's the general principle. God made a good earth, an abundant earth, a resourceful earth. He wants us to enjoy it. Is that proved true in terms of what we see statistically about resources in the earth? Well, now let's look at your outline, if you have that outline. If you don't have one, hold up your hand. This outline, chapter 10b, World Resources. B, long-term trends show that human beings will be able to live on the earth, enjoying ever-increasing prosperity and never exhausting its resources. I want you all to go like this. I mean, figuratively. We're not going to run out of things. We can use things joyfully. We talked about world population last week. It's going to level off between, it's at now about 6.87 billion, just under 7 billion. It's going to level off at about 9 to 11 billion, according to current projections. It'll stabilize as countries become more wealthy. What about land for growing food? Is there enough land for growing food, or are we going to run out of food? Here's a quick way to answer that. Go to the grocery store and see if you can afford to buy food. If we're running out of food, the price system would all of a sudden cause prices to double, triple, quadruple because food is becoming scarce. Steve Oman has just come from the airport with Mark and the other brother who's coming. Bob Fu is up here and Dr. Lee. So, we're glad you're here. We've got about 8 minutes left in the class. I think I'm just going to continue on. Okay. But good to see you here. Welcome. After a very long trip. Would this brother like to greet us?
Nice to meet you.
I'm good to meet you.
My name is Willie. I'm from China. This time is not easy for me to arrive at here. I live in Beijing, but I went to Shanghai and. One brother was not allowed to come, only me, and I missed my flight and go to New York and to Los Angeles and just come here. Okay, about 30 hours for me. I'm so glad to be here and can share with our American brothers and sisters. So we hope you can pray for the Chinese House Church and the Chinese brothers and sisters. Thank you.
Thank you. And you are going to Texas after this to observe the American election and see how the American political process works. Good. Anything else? Then are you going to Washington, D.C. after that? Yes? Okay, good. Glad you're here. So I'm still going to press on because I'm a teacher and I want to get through a little bit of the outline. Land for growing food, is there enough? 24% of the Earth's land is arable, that is able to be cultivated for crops. That's 7.9 billion acres. That is three times the area currently used in any given year. In other words, around the world, there's a lot more land that isn't yet being used for crops. It's not quite as productive or profitable, or there aren't people nearby who want to use it for crops, but it could be. And so the Earth, we have how many billion people in the Earth now? 6.8 or 6.9 billion as of last night. I looked on Wikipedia. The Earth could feed 35 billion people, according to one estimate. Even if it grew at only half the average production of the Corn Belt in the United States. Another estimate, it could feed 18 billion people compared to the 6 billion or 7 billion we have now. That's three times the world population. And estimates are population will stabilize at 11 billion. In other words, there's plenty of land to grow crops. Food production per acre has also increased remarkably in our lifetimes, or some of our lifetimes, the last 60 years, and will likely continue to increase. And these are measurements per hectare, which is 2.47 acres. The amount of cereal grain grown per hectare in North America, Central America, and Europe, it says less than, it should be greater than two times, has increased, or it's more than doubled between 1950 and 1990. And in the world as a whole, there's a significantly increasing trend. And so that's this chart. If you see the line with the reds, with the line with the circles on it, that is how many tons of cereal grain, whether oat or wheat or rye or rice, how many tons are grown per hectare. In 1950, about 1.5 tons per hectare grown per year. And by 1990, it went up to 3.5 tons. That's more than double the crop production through better farming methods, better fertilizer, better pesticides, and things like that. More than twice as much grain per year grown on a certain plot of land, on average, from 1950 to 1990. Did you know that? Isn't that amazing? And the triangle shape is Europe. Europe, same kind of progress. And for the world as a whole, it's these square boxes. Sadly, the triangle at the bottom, sub-Saharan Africa, has not increased in the amount of grain grown. The rest of the world has been increasing, and that's an encouraging trend overall, although there are areas of concern. And then the calories consumed per day have increased. Now, somebody's saying, shh. I know that is not at first seen as a blessing to you because you either yourself eat too many calories per day or you observe others or in the headlines you read about Americans eating too many calories per day. But let's see. Right here. Daily calories per capita changed from 1964 up to estimates for 2015 and 2030. For the developed world, 2,900 calories per capita about in 1964 up to 3,500 calories. That's a problem in itself. That's too much more than people are using in terms of energy expenditure. But for the world as a whole, look at the increasing calories eaten per day. And for the developing world, from 2050 about up to around 2,800 per year. What that's saying is there's more food available for everybody in the world on average. And so people who were previously undernourished or malnourished are able to eat more. And the percentage of starving people in the world. I mean, this is a difficult subject to talk about, but look at the trend overall from 1969 to 71, where the estimate, world estimate, was 35% of the people in the world not getting enough to eat. And starving means, according to a UN definition, not having enough energy to perform light daily activities. Well, that's a very serious percentage. It has dropped from 35% of the world population down to about 12% from 1969-71 to about 2000. Well, it'd be about 2001 in that statistic, and still declining. And so overall, remarkable progress in overcoming food deficiency and starvation. And the progress has been seen in Latin America from 20% down to maybe 8% or so. And in the Near East and North Africa from 24% down to maybe 10%. And look at this amazing decline in Asia, East Asia and Pacific. That would include China and India. 40% down to maybe 5 to 8% starving. And the developing world as a whole from 38% down to maybe 10%. So that's remarkable. The high end of the graph still remains sub-Saharan Africa, Africa south of the Sahara Desert, still some progress, but not nearly as much. But while there's still cause for concern, 12% of the people of the world still needing enough nutrition to perform lightly daily activities, yet to move from 36 or 37% down to 12% in the course of 40 years is remarkable progress in overcoming food shortages in the world. What do I want to talk about next? Water, clean air, waste disposal, global forests, species loss, herbicides, pesticides, life expectancy, and energy resources, oil, coal, natural gas, nuclear power, solar energy, and conclusion. That's going to have to wait till next week. We're not running out of land, and the amount of food available to people in areas where it hasn't been previously available, that situation has been remarkably improving. That's what we would expect if God told us to subdue the earth and have dominion over it. And if he looked at the earth and said, it's very good. And I think he's given us a good earth that will still, there's still lots of land for lots of people to live in and using God's resources joyfully. Let's pick that up next week. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you for the privilege of having our guests from China here today. And we thank you for their testimony and their work. And now, Lord, we thank you for what looks to us to be wonderful, encouraging news about progress in overcoming food shortages around the world. And for the really wonderful and abundant earth that you've given us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.